And so today we're going to talk about how the church is gifted, how the church is given talents, how the church is developed by God to bring us into service. Each one of you, and you've heard me say this before, has a calling on your life if you believe in Christ. And that calling is to honor, worship, and glorify God. And you do that through your giftings, through your talents, through your abilities. Romans 12:6-8 says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Wouldn't it be boring if we all had the same gift? What if we were all a right hand? How well would that work? God is uniquely gifted and created each one of you for his purpose. Sometimes we don't understand what that purpose is. Sometimes we're struggling trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? What does that mean, I have a purpose? Well, today we're gonna look into that in more detail and understand that God does have a specific plan for you. You are created uniquely. Nobody else in this world is identical to you. When we talk about spiritual gifts, there's some confusion on this subject. So we have talents, things that we've learned. We have natural talents, things that we were just born with. You know who those gifted people are, right? It's people that pick up a putter at the age of two and they hit, you know, a hole in one, no problem. And then you have what we call spiritual gifts. And not to be confused with your talents and abilities, a spiritual gift is a divine gift imparted into you that's manifested through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what those differences are and how you know and how you define those gifts and how you use those gifts. The first thing that we need to look at is Romans 12, if you have your Bible. Would you guys turn to Romans 12? That's in the New Testament. It's a letter from Paul written to Rome. We call that an epistle in theology school. An epistle is simply a letter. It's a letter. Easiest way to put it. Why they don't just call it a letter, I don't know. So Romans 12:4-5. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Okay, this is a definition of the body of Christ. You'll see in the New Testament there's also comparisons. Thank you, Abby. There's also comparisons, or often comparisons, of the body, the hands, the feet, legs, Christ being the head. It's an analogy that Paul often used describing Christ's relationship to the church. Okay, like I said, we're not all a right hand. We've all been uniquely designed and brought together in unity to serve Christ. If I cut off my right hand, or I don't have a right hand, I'm going to lose some function in my body, right? Something is, I can overcome it, but I'm not whole. I'm not working the way I should. I'm not working as designed. And that's how it is with the church. If one of the members of the body isn't functioning properly, then people have to overcome that and overcompensate that and fill in. And so each of you has a calling into the church in a specific role. First Corinthians 12:4-6, I'm just going to read this to you real quick. It says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." Okay, say, with all this uniqueness, God ties it together and brings it together to accomplish his purpose. So being unique is good. It's important. We have free will. We have unique gifts, unique talents. And I would say that your gifts are like a fingerprint. Maybe similar to others, but it's unique to you. And so part of your role in life is to figure out what that is and to develop it, and that's not an easy thing sometimes. Sometimes we think we're gifted in one area, come to find out we're really not. And so it's okay to work and try different things until you really figure out your purpose in life. I didn't figure out I was going into church planting until my late 30s. You know, before then, God took me down other paths, took me down other roads. But I always look back and say all those steps have developed me to be in the position I'm in right now. And that's how God takes you through life. He's constantly developing you and molding you and shaping you to serve Him. Let's look at the different attributes in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. If you guys want to turn there, because we're going to spend quite a bit of time in 1 Corinthians today, chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6, once again, this is an epistle written by Paul. Paul wrote a lot of letters. It says, there are many different kinds of gifts. Verse 5 says, there are many different kinds of service. And then it also says, there are different kinds of workings. Okay, as I said earlier when I started today, that a spiritual gift is different than your talents, your abilities, your experiences in life. Okay, and I think we get that term mixed up. We use it differently and for the wrong reasons. So let's look at the different kinds of gifts. Let's look at talents first, or workings. These are things that you've developed. To me, this is things like on-the-job training, education. You go to school, you learn something. It's something you didn't know firsthand. You had to be taught. Examples are math, science, social studies. You know, that's just not something you pick up. You have to learn it. You have to be instructed. You have to pick up a manual some way, okay? And we've all developed certain skills and tasks. Some of us have worked on them for years in our job, in our career. And so that's a skill, a task that you have, okay? It's a skill. It's something that you've learned. The other one is the natural talents I talked about. This is where somebody excels in a specific area over others. They excel. They just pick it up like that. They can run with it, and they always exceed and always excel above others. You may have gifts that you don't even know about. That is a natural talent. It's something that you know, from birth, God has implanted this in you to be used. We all know those superstars that, you know, seem to be able to do everything in sports or whatever. They're throwing 50-yard passes at 2 years old, right? These guys are just naturally talented. Okay, there's people in other careers like that, other fields of work. Then there's life experiences that play into this mix too. To me, I think life experiences we tend to ignore. We have all these degrees and doctorate things posted on our walls that we see. We have people's training certificates. I think there should be one for life experience. Because to me, life experience is more important than those in various ways. And the reason I say that is I think God's at work more in those life experiences than He is in worrying about your talents and other things. Through life experiences is how God molds us, it's how He shapes us, it's how He develops character in us. And we can use that to serve Him, or we can use that to mope and to whine and to serve Satan, right? Sometimes we go through rough times, and it's how God develops us. You know, I know people that have been through the worst times. And I know When they're focused on God going through that, you see this whole different person arise out of that, somebody stronger, better, more focused on God, knows God, trusts God. It's a faith-building exercise. And those are things that I think we should have a plaque for. I think there are many. I mean, this wall would be lined up with plaques if it was based on life experience, because that's how we get shaped and molded. Isaiah 64:8, it says this. I'm just going to read this to you. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. That's an important aspect to remember, is that God is molding us. And when he starts to mold us and shape us through these things, that's when we can start to really be used, because he's developing something in us. He's preparing us for service. Paul had a whole bunch of experiences that he went through before he became the Apostle Paul. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, I've taught many times on this, that Christianity is not an easy religion. It's not a religion where once you accept Christ, your life's going to be happy and joyful and everything's going to be okay. In fact, I'd say it's usually the opposite. Christ never tells you that. He tells you to pick up your cross and follow him, deny yourself. And part of that is growing, to develop faith, to develop strength, because God has got a plan for you. Let's talk about specifically spiritual gifts now. Spiritual gifts are something that are imparted in you. You have to know Christ. You have to accept Christ. You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you receive gifts. It's like Christmas. Only you don't get to unwrap them. You have to figure out what they are without unwrapping them. A lot of times it's easy. But a spiritual gift is divine. It's something that God says, I'm going to use this servant of mine at this point in time to do this specific thing so that people know I'm God. It's different than a natural talent. It's different than an experience. It's not you at all. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God at work doing some type of miraculous thing through you. Spiritual gifts are simply a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's how they are. And so why do I harp on that, or why do I talk specifically about spiritual gifts versus all these other gifts and talents? It's because the Bible clearly teaches that there are divine encounters, there are divine things that take place with the Holy Spirit in your life that are miraculous. And it's called a gift. God has used it for a specific purpose too. Would you guys turn to 1 Corinthians verse 12, and we're going to look at 7 through 11. Can I ask somebody if they would read those verses, 7 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12? Okay.
A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have.
Awesome. Thank you, Nicole. What translation is that, by the way?
New Living.
Is it New Living? Okay. One of my favorite translations is NIV. It used to be. And I was disappointed when I read about some changes to it, but I still use it a lot because I know the verse I'm using have not changed. It's an older version. One of the things it says is, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given, which I love that, the way it says that. Because a lot of times we, you know, especially in evangelical churches, they'll skip right over that. And I think that's a mistake. Okay? The Bible doesn't skip over it, neither should we. Okay? I believe that you have far-right charismatic churches and far-left evangelical churches, and I think what God meant is there's a middle ground. Okay? You're right. It is. It's for the common good, Roy. I think that what happens is people tend to go far right, far left. This church is in the middle, guys. I'll tell you that right now. I believe that the Word is infallible, that the Word is our governing body to everything we do, but the Holy Spirit works in us as well. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we're able to interpret Scripture. It's through the Holy Spirit that this church functions. And so those two have to come together, Word and Spirit. Okay? What's awesome about this is it's very clear what those gifts are that the Holy Spirit gives us through the manifestation of the Spirit. So the first one that it talks about is, hold me back up and comment on what Roy just said. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, I'm not, and I know this might be foreign to some of you, I know it might be strange to some of you, but God is Spirit. God indwells in you if you've received Christ. The Bible is very clear about that. That's how you change as a Christian. That's how you are developed and sanctified. The Holy Spirit's constantly working in your life. And the Bible says without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even come to Christ. That He was working in your life before you even came to know Christ. Okay? God does this for the common good, as Roy said. It's not to be cherished. It's not to be held to ourselves. It's to be used for the good of the church. All right, if I have a message of prophecy that I want to share that God's given me, I'm not to be puffed up and say, oh, look at me, I got this prophetic gift all of a sudden. I can tell you what the Lord is saying to you. It's to build up the church, period. Not to build up Tim, not to build up anything else, but to build up the church and glorify God. That's why He gives us these gifts. So let's look at the list. A message of wisdom. What in the world is that? Anybody have any ideas? Go ahead.
Sarah told a story this morning about a girl asking a question in New Orleans to her dad, and he was preaching, and she was having trouble, and he said that all of a sudden he said something to her that he never would have thought of. And so to me, that's a word of wisdom, something you didn't know before that obviously comes from God.
Good, Jade. Thank you. So I think it's a couple things, and that's a great one. So you'll also see that there's a word of knowledge that talks about in here, right? So I know there are times where I have absolutely no wisdom to share with you. There's some major problem. I've never dealt with it. I don't want to deal with it, and all of a sudden God gives me something to say. It's a word of wisdom, and it's meant to encourage the church. It's meant to build up the church for the common good. It's wisdom that you didn't have before through life experiences, right? It's something that just appears, and it's like, where did that come from? Some of you might have experienced this before. Next one is a message of knowledge, which I think that is. Sometimes God will put something on our heart about a specific thing that we need to share with somebody. It's knowledge that we would not have known. That's happened to me many times, and if you guys have been around me for long, you know that happens with me. God will put something on my heart, and it's crazy sometimes, but it'll be dead on. And so that is a message of knowledge. It's something there's no way I would have known. It's not future telling. It's not fortune telling. And a lot of times it's not specific about a person or go into details. God just put something on your heart, and you know there's something going on with this person. I need to pray for him, or I need to speak to him, or whatever. Okay? Every good gift is from above, by the way. If it's meant for evil, cast it out. You got another person speaking to you in this world too, and you need to ignore what he has to say. The next one is miraculous powers. That'd be a pretty cool gift, right?
Amen.
Just got a barrel of water, turn it into wine. That'd be pretty cool. There are people that at times have this miraculous ability. I've seen it. I've seen people, for example, healed at this, somebody just speaking over disease and it's gone. I've seen miracles happen in people's lives. This guy in Iran, Saeed. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. Huh?
Praise God.
He was fighting a battle in an Iranian prison because he was a Christian. He was arrested. And his family has pleaded and pleaded and pleaded with our U.S. government to get him out. And they've had many opportunities to do so and haven't done so. His only crime is sharing the gospel. And finally, this week, he was released. Years and years in an Iranian prison. That's a miracle. There is a gift when God feels it's for the common good of the church. Miracles take place. As to bring glory to him. The other one is prophecy. Many people misunderstand this gift. A lot of times pastors have this gift. And what prophecy is it's a gift that God gives you to speak words of encouragement. Sometimes it's to speak a rebuke. That's never fun. Sometimes it's to provide direction for the church. But once again, it's not fortune-telling. God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, on this date at this time, I'm not saying he's limited, that he can't do that, but that's usually not how God operates. He'll warn you, like he warned Joseph and Mary, take this son of yours and go to Egypt. Somebody's out to kill him. What he did with Abraham, go to this place, Abraham. God will give us direction through prophecy. But one thing to remember is prophecy never adds or takes away from the infallible Word of God. It will never contradict the Word of God. That's why it's so important to understand your Bible. Because when God speaks to you, if it contradicts the Word, it's not God. The other thing is distinguishing between spirits. That is a divine gift. Many people say, oh, I got the gift of discernment. It's a little different. There's distinguishing between spirits and there's being able to, you know, you get this feeling that somebody's up to something. Something's not right. I think all parents have that gift. There's a certain discernment you need as a parent, and God gives that to you. This is being able to tell when there's evil spirits in the room, by the way. You don't want that gift, I'm telling you right now. It's not a fun gift. Speaking in different kinds of tongues. This is a controversial thing many times in many churches. There is a gift that God gives people where they can speak in a miraculous language. They can speak in a language that is foreign to you. I've heard it many times. It's a gift. And again, it's meant for the common good of the church. It's meant to build up the church. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does things to show himself in mighty ways. Interpretation of tongues. There are times where God will give somebody an interpretation after that person spoke in tongues. It's pretty cool. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're almost through this. There's a couple additional things listed here. Would somebody like to read 12:28? Chapter 12, verse 28. Thank you. Okay, I want to go through these quickly too. You're like, well, how are those spiritual gifts? So, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, well, I can understand a spiritual gift, gifts of healing, helping, of guidance, and of governments and tongues. These are all spiritual gifts because they're appointed to run the church. They're a big part of the church governance and the church leadership. And they have to be divine, otherwise the church is going to fail. They have to be a divine appointment. So an apostle is a delegate, specifically an ambassador of the gospel. Modern-day apostles are those that go out and plant churches. I've been often told that that was my calling, was apostleship, to go plant churches and spread churches throughout the area. It's somebody that's got to be commissioned by Christ. Somebody that God calls and appoints and empowers through the Holy Spirit to do this role. Some of you in here may have that calling. The next one is a prophet. Okay, this is a religious or a office in the church, a prophet. Okay, we believe in what's called the fivefold ministry. There are five specific gifts or offices in the church that are called out in the Bible in Ephesians that we talked about before. One of them is a prophet. And if those five gifts aren't in the church, then you better be praying a lot, because all five are needed for the church to function as a whole. So a prophet, according to the Greek word used here, it's somebody in the assembly of the church that was moved by the Holy Spirit to speak, having power to instruct, comfort, encourage, rebuke, convict, and stimulate their hearers. That's what a prophet is, okay? The next one is a teacher. Well, how is that a spiritual gift? Some of us know teaching. We've taught most of our lives. But when it comes to teaching the things of God and the Word of God, it requires the Holy Spirit. I couldn't teach this stuff on my own. I need God to give me the wisdom on this stuff. I pray for it all the time before I get up here and teach to you guys, because I want it all to be His words, not my words. There's the gift of healing. Many people think this is be healed, and you're healed. Sometimes it is. But I believe there are other gifts that God uses in healing, such as medicine. Okay, sometimes He'll heal you instantly. And there's people that just have this great faith in that, and they speak over somebody, all of a sudden, they're healed. I've had moments in my life where I've spoken over somebody sick and they've been healed, and it was incredible to see it. I mean, you see it right in front of your eyes. There's no doubt about it. And there are times where that doesn't happen. Medicine is part of God's plan. You know, when he said, "Are any of you sick? Call the elders of the church, and they will anoint you with oil." That's a healing thing that you put on somebody back in the New Testament. They didn't have antibiotics yet.
Can I add something to that?
Please.
Doctors today are your Levites of yesterday. You study the Bible, and you study about Israel and who the Levites were to Israel and how God appointed them. He always had the Israelites look to the Levites. He gave them remedies for what to do, what to give them, herbals.
Speaking like me, Bobby.
Just natural stuff that he gave them that today that we have medicine from. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from my own experience. Yeah. The main thing, from my walk, what I've gone through, some people know and some people don't, but when you stand at death's door, you listen to your God. And if he says, do what your doctors tell you to do, you do what your doctors tell you. Because those are the Levites he's put in your life.
Yeah, good, Bobby. Thank you, brother. Yeah, if for those of you guys that haven't had a chance to come meet Bobby, he's got an incredible testimony. Been friends for a long time, and I've seen God do some incredible things in his life. Another one is gift of governance. Sometimes we call that administrative gift. And, you know, administration is a talent that certain people have. You all know them. You know how the organizers, the guys that have everything filed and everything in order, like me. Just kidding, by the way. You see all those boxes up there? Those are mine. There's also a divine gift to bring order into the church through administration. Okay, God's a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. And so there's a spiritual gift and administration that takes place. When you get things from me on time and when you get organized stuff, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit, because I'm the least organized person in this room, I promise you. All right. So let's talk about how we receive these spiritual gifts. This is a question that people ask all the time, and we need to, first of all, why did we say that God gives us these spiritual gifts? For the better, edify the church for the common good of the church, right? Edify to build it up, as Dan said. Oftentimes, people are searching for gifts to edify themselves. You know, why can't I have that gift? Why can't I have this ability? God, have you forsaken me? You know, it can't be looked at like that. You have to come to God with the heart, God, how can you use me to serve you? And when you do that, be prepared. Be prepared and be willing to step into where he calls you. The Bible is very clear. Romans 1:11 says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. It's Paul writing to the Romans. Spiritual gifts are imparted often, whether it be pastors, whether it be a prayer that God is answering. But oftentimes it requires a calling before that gift shows up in your life. I remember when I was licensed as a pastor in a refuge worship center. And Cindy and I were there, and Pastor James came up to me and laid hands on me, and he said he was empowering a gift into me. And I was like, really? And later on it showed up, and I was surprised. And so oftentimes pastors pass things on to their proteges. They pass things on to other pastors, they commission a new church. There are times where I've prayed for certain people in this room and asked God to give them a specific gift to help them through a situation. When you receive Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, there is something that God imparts into you. And the more you start to recognize whatever that gift is, and the more you start to develop it, the greater it becomes. It's like the force. I'm just kidding. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. I can testify to that. I know what my gifts are that God has given me. I know what my spiritual gifts are. And when I've operated in them, they've always gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. When I don't, it's like, oh, what was that again? It's very foggy to me. There are times where it just will lie dormant in your life until God needs you to use it for the good of the church, right? So how do I know what my gift is? We all know what our talents are, at least I hope we do. If you've ever watched American Idol, you know there's many people that think they're talented and they're not. That is just humiliating to watch some of those people get up there, is it not? Like, whoever told you you could sing? There are specific talents in your life, and hopefully you know what they are. And hopefully if you're a friend of that person, you're honest with them and you help them understand what their talents and gifts are. Being honest is not a bad thing, guys. It's important that we understand that if we have a talent, God is developing it in you for a reason. I'm not talking just a spiritual gift here. I'm talking a talent. For those that don't know, I have I've developed a gift in sound, or a talent in sound engineering that I've been developing for years. And so I've always used that, and well, not always. In the last several years, I've used that to serve God. I've done sound for rock bands, for Christian rock bands. I've done sound for Village Church, for Cross Timbers Church, for Grace Heritage Church. We're talking big sound systems. I learned a lot of stuff through that. And so I was able to use that to serve God. I'm also a computer engineer. I've written software. I've done websites. And so what I do, I use that to build websites for churches and to use it any way I can to serve God. And so you guys all have talents, and God's developing them in you. You can put them into work to serve and glorify God, whatever that is. Then we have our natural abilities. We all know what those are, most likely more than we know what our talents are. Natural abilities are, you just always excel in that area. I was writing software when I was 13 years old. I kind of figured that might be my natural talent. The way you discover your gifts, spiritual gifts, number one, either you've operated in that gift. For example, if you're speaking in a tongue, most likely that's a spiritual gift. Okay? That is a spiritual gift. If you've spoke a word of prophecy over somebody, and you just knew that that was a word from God, maybe that's your gift, and you need to work on that. If it's miracles, come see me. There's a gift of faith. It's just this incredible faith that you can do anything. You just have this faith to plow through. You know that Christ is on your side through it. Whatever it is, you may know what that gift is, you may not. Usually a pastor or somebody that's a mature Christian that's walked and understands the giftings can probably help you understand what yours is if you don't know. I also have this printed off here. This is called a spiritual gifts inventory. This is more than spiritual gifts, by the way. It's your talents, it's your different abilities that are called out throughout the Bible. And so after we're done here, you can take one of these and fill it out and you score it, and it's supposed to tell you where you're gifted. I don't believe these are 100% accurate by any means. I think it helps you start to understand maybe where you should focus. But please come see me after you fill this out and let's talk about it, because I've had people say they were prophets, and it's like, no. So, come talk to me, please. I mean, I'd love to spend time with you on this because it's really important. Here's the last part of this, and I'm going to close. Whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, whatever your natural talent is, if you're not using it, you're throwing it away. If you woke up one morning and there was a brand new car sitting in your driveway with a bow on it, and the keys were handed to you, what would you do? Would you throw it away or would you drive it? Drive it. Let's say it had a full tank too. God's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. And as I've said this before, when you start to step in and serve Him, use those things to serve Him in whatever way He's called you, there's a blessing that goes with that. It's a huge blessing. You start to see God manifesting Himself more and more in your life and growing you. It's an important thing. Romans 12, 6 through 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Okay, it's through grace. God gives us grace and the gift and grace. And I believe part of that is the grace to make mistakes as well. Okay, each one of us has been given a gift. Each one of us has been given God's grace. He hasn't given you a manual to teach you how to use it, but he's given you people that have experienced it and can help you understand how to use the gifts God has given you. You have to try. You have to step out in faith sometimes and say, I think this is my gift. I want to develop this. Pray to God. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom on how to use this gift, whatever it is, or to help you understand what your gifts are. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. All right, we're called to use the gifts. They're not there to sit dormant. We need to take the keys, put them in the ignition, and go for a drive. It's so important that you learn to develop that. Okay, you're going to be a dormant Christian otherwise, and Christianity is a calling. It's not, okay, I've accepted Christ, now I'm going to wait until he comes back to get me. No, he wants you to do something right here on earth today. He's got a plan and a purpose. That's why you're here. We can't just sit dormant and do nothing until he comes back. He's called us to action. Please, Bobby.
I used to be a plumber. A lot of people are, ooh, plumber, it's gross. Yeah, when you go down there to take your test in Austin, it says plumbers protect the health of the nation. You don't understand how we protect you from being, from disease,
right,
from contaminated water, and sewer systems, and gas systems, and keeping your houses from blowing up. It's a very, very important profession.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a plumber no more. God took me in another direction. And it always goes in an area, and he always builds you for where he's taking you. But what's so cool about him is that it never ends.
Right.
Until we pass this plane. Then we got something else to do.
Right.
But I forget his name, Derek Prince.
Uh-huh.
He said something, I read his book a long time ago, training,
okay,
training.
Huh.
And we're high kings and priests in God's government. And he is training us now where we are here, how we walk through here is how we're going to reign. And he's training us to reign in his kingdom over other subjects. It's hard. It's really deep to get into.
Yeah.
But that's what we're here for.
Amen.
And that's why he said, occupy until I come. Don't be, you know, all focused on, okay, I'm a Christian now, and I'm just going to wait for Jesus to come back. No. When you're in your occupation, you affect people. And you change people's lives through your work and what you do. And us as Christians are supposed to do the exact same thing. We're not supposed to stay in the building and looking out the windows. We're supposed to be out that door and affecting other people's lives by occupying until he comes.
That's right, brother. Good, man. Thank you, Bobby. That's good. That is such a true statement. And, you know, that's one of the things about the well, and you look at all the goals we set. It's about sending people. Not about filling seats in our church. It's not about trying to see how much money we can get out of you. It's about taking people and sending them out to disciple others. That's really what the Great Commission is, right? Go ye and make disciples of all nations. That was the command of the church, to make disciples. We've taken it way to the other extreme. I'm trying to reel it back in and go back to disciple making. And so that's why you're gifted, that's why you're called, that's why you're sent, is to make disciples. What is a disciple? Someone that understands the gift of God through Christ Jesus and can share it with somebody else. And then you come together as a church to worship and glorify the King of Kings. That's what the church is meant to be. It wasn't meant to be Disneyland. It wasn't meant to be an enterprise. It's a body of Christ. It's people coming together in the name of Christ, worshiping and serving him. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, "Do not neglect your gift." That was Paul's message to young Timothy, Pastor Timothy. Do not neglect your gift. I think it's a sin to neglect what God has given you. I'm not saying that in a legalistic way, that you're going to heaven jail. I'm saying that because it's important to understand that if you want to please God, if you want to honor God, if you want to serve God, that's how you do it. He says to Timothy again in 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." You have to use it, or you're not going to lose it, number one. You have to use it if you want to develop it. It's like I said, the more you operate in the giftings that God has given you, the more useful they are, the more aware of them you are, and the more developed they become. And when I met Pastor James, that man blew me away. He's got an incredible prophetic gift. If any of you have spent some time with him, when he gets going in his prophetic mood or his prophetic mode, he's dead on, man. It's like, how did you know that? And it's always an encouraging word. He's not there to knock you down. He's there to say, God sees this in you. God wants you to do this. God has called you into this area. And he's always so right. He said some prophetic things about this church that Cindy and I were shaking our heads at first going, you're crazy. And sure enough, that's exactly where God led us. So the reason he's able to do that is because he operates in that gift all the time. He knows what it is. Any questions? How many of you know what your spiritual gift is? Couple? I do. Anybody else? Okay. We got a lot of training to do. I encourage you to take one of these surveys today. Fill it out. Again, I wouldn't put a whole lot of weight in these because I think they're biased or they're subjective. You know, you can click all the things that look like might lead to prophecy and check them off. I encourage you to be honest when you take it. You know, it's just like anything. Bad date in is bad date out, right? Some of the pages on here, I was trying to save paper. I did double-sided. And so some are a little out of order. So just look at the numbering. You'll figure it out. There's also an online survey. I'll send you a link to. I would say go Google it, but some of them I don't think are good. So let me know. I can send you the link. Anyway, let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, for teaching us, Father, for the church. I thank you for each individual that you brought into here to help us function as a church. Father, I know this is a difficult topic. I just pray today that your Holy Spirit would open minds and hearts to receive your word, to receive what the Bible says. Father, help us to know what our gifts are. Help us to know how we can better serve you. Father, for those that you're developing, help us to be good at training those people, Father. Lord, I pray that each person in this room today will be a witness of yours throughout this community and through the nation and through the world. Father, I thank you for how you've blessed us to help those in our community, to help our missionaries to drill more wells in Africa. Father, we pray over Megan Elmore, who is in Zambia with these kids, that you continue to lead her ministry. And Father, I just ask today for a special anointing on this church, Father, that your Holy Spirit would touch people in a way, whether it be passion to serve, whether it be a desire to serve. Father, we go out in this community and just bring in revival. And Lord, I ask that you provide for every need in this room. every spiritual need, every financial need, every need of healing, Father, you'd provide all of those because you do. And we thank you for that. And Father, I ask for your blessing as each person goes through this door today. In Jesus' name, amen.